we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Mucosal immunity sounds kind of technical, maybe gross, but the reality is it is very important as to what happens when we get infected with something in our sinuses, for example. The mucosa is the layer of tissue that pathogens like SARS-2 or the flu or any coronavirus would first encounter. It's a part of the barrier that is in all of us. And it can be weakened by many things. But one of the major things about it is very important in how we develop immunity to different pathogens. And with that, I'll bring him back in once again, Jordan Vaughn. And Jordan, good talking to you. And what do you think about this idea that mucosal immunity is better than other types of immunity that they've ignored for the past 3 years?
Yeah, I think we know for sure that mucosal immunity is really kind of one of your first lines of protection. You would call it almost a exclusionary type of immune response, and that's kind of described, and I'll tell you what that means. It means it's basically just not allowing these things to even enter. They basically kind of gum up. It's probably the best defense you have, the first defense, to kind of stop the onslaught. And I think, there is a reason that we have mucosal membranes, sinuses, those kind of things that God designed us to have the ability to bring in things from outside inside. But he didn't design us without a layer of protection. And that layer of protection initially is the mucosal barrier. There's a reason we call it a barrier, because it is supposed to keep out the disgusting stuff. And as you can already know, as the lack of efficacy of masks proved, lots of things we can't see are out there trying to take us out. So I think that's what a lot of people got to realize. And that's when you talk about mucosal immunity or IgA, capital A, immunoglobulin A, that is the type, probably the most, second most abundant type of antibody in your body outside of IgG, but it is uniquely beneficial because it basically has actually biological properties that aren't shared by any other immunoglobulin class. They interfere, with basically the ability of a virus or other thing like bacteria or other kind of pathogen from even really making its first assault. Go ahead, Stuart.
Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah. And the reason that we're starting with this is we've known this for I don't know how many decades and generations we've known this, not just the practical reality of it, but the discovery of antibodies many, many decades ago and the different types. But lo and behold, just after over 2 years after the release of the vaccine, I guess going on 2.5 years, there is a major paper that just came out this past weekend that says, wait a minute, looks like the natural immunity, when you get the infection and then your body develops immunity against it, is superior to the antibodies made after the jab and in blocking in helping mucosal immunity. Now, this may sound technical, but it's actually first grade immunology as far as I'm concerned. The paper is laughable. this is the kind of stuff they shouldn't, they should, nobody should have been, I don't understand the utility of this type of endeavor, when in fact we could have been doing much more serious investigations as to this pandemic. Does that make sense, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, especially say the first line of defense that actually works and is really important is this. I mean, once you get past the initial barrier, I mean, obviously there's multiple things that your body's able to do, but it's a lot easier to just prevent it from ever getting inside to begin with. And I think that's what's so important about mucosal immunity. And it's probably the explanation. I mean, I have a lot of people actually, I guess I was on Rick and Bubba podcast, and Rick keeps on asking me about his wife. His wife, you know, has been around COVID all the time, but she's never had it. I mean, her antibodies prove that. And he's just like, well, what's going on there? And I mean, I definitely think there's some type of mucosal immunity that she has that really allows her to get rid of it before it even enters and makes IgG antibodies. Now,
right.
how to prove that,
yeah,
I don't know. But I mean, that's what happens. There's a lot of ability for the body to interact with a virus and not allow it to actually even penetrate the mucosal barrier, which means that it doesn't make IgG antibodies.
Right. Actually, later, you know, we're going to talk about Dr. Hazan, her interview on Epoch Times, where she is talking about the biome and the antibodies that we have in our, I mean, the bacteria that we have naturally in our gut that protect us, that are absent in those who get infected with SARS. But so there are many mechanisms, but what we started with, the IgA, is important for many reasons. And the thing that so makes me scratch my head about this and frustrated about it is they're acting like this is major news in this study. Did you read anything that gave you, oh, wait, that's interesting. That's something we need to know more about, when you read the paper?
Yeah, I mean, I think it points out that, you know, evidently injecting a, especially a particleized or basically a subparticle antibody, just what I, you know, basically a pathogen or just part of a pathogen, doesn't seem to make people express mucosal immunity, which means that for the most part, this, you know, these inoculations or these vaccines that they call vaccines aren't going to be able to produce an effective sterilization, meaning they're not going to be very, very beneficial. I don't know exactly how often mucosal immunity is produced by vaccination, which I think is a question maybe you can answer, Dr. Tinkersley, but maybe not. I just haven't looked at it before.
Yeah, but the whole point of it, like I mentioned earlier, is the absurdity of when I read the paper, it's just like, why are they wasting time doing what we already know to be the case? Because, and Ryan Cole and Dr. Vandenbosch out of Germany and talking about this well over 2 years ago, that we shouldn't expect this type of vaccine, even though it doesn't qualify as one, from doing this type of basic, promoting this type of basic immunology. And so I'm not sure what, I'm going to read the couple of the article. The title of the article was SARS-CoV-2 Convalescence and Hybrid Immunity Elicits Mucosal Immune Responses. Ola Puhak, Methylide Bilan, Kenneth Adia. I don't know where these people
are. They're a bunch of Swiss folks.
I didn't understand. I mean, this is the type of stuff that just, we knew this decades ago, and yet this is a major paper. I just don't understand, when we have so many other things like what you've been doing a wonderful job of investigating. I don't know if the established medical institutions Have they even begun to study what you and the others on your team have been doing for the last year or two? It's just amazing that they ignore what is the threat and go after these other things, validating what science has known for decades.
Yeah, it's it well, to me this
That's
is
just
interesting that
another example.
you would produce this. I actually think, I mean, even the fact that they had to include hybrid immunity and convalescence. Well, hybrid immunity is just convalescence plus, you know, so convalescence definitely elicits mucosal immunity. So why would you say and hybrid immunity? It's like, well, if convalescence produces it, then hybrid immunity means nothing. I mean, that's like saying convalescence plus eating Wheaties for breakfast also produces it. It's like, but I mean, why do you have to include the hybrid part in there? And by the way, hybrid means also vaccinated. So if you're vaccinated and get the infection, or just get the infection, you get mucosal immune responses. And it's almost like they
Right,
kind of
but it's not from the vaccine.
exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like they're obviously just shows you again the bent of these authors that they have to give some credence to the inoculation or the vaccine. So just again makes you question why there's such, I mean, that to include hybrid immunity here, unless they were worried that the vaccine prevented it, which I
Yeah,
don't,
exactly. But they didn't address that.
they didn't address that. But so in just in the basic title, you go, well, why are you investigating whether hybrid immunity does it too, unless you're worried about hybrid immunity not doing it? Because we know convalescent immunity does do it. So that's quite an interesting leap.
It's another example. Another example of the insanity that we're stuck in for the last 3 years.
Yeah, interestingly enough, what you were
With
talking
that,
about with Dr. Hazan was, however, you know, one of the things I was, you know, just kind of reviewing IgA immunity. And then, you know, one of the major questions in the research is a major question in mucosal immunity remains, how does IgA and the mucosal immune system in general discriminate between innocuous dietary components or commensal bacteria and pathogens that represent a threat to the individual's health? Just again goes back to show you how little we understand the immune system, that we don't even really understand how the IgA discriminates between good bacteria, bad bacteria, and dietary things we eat. But it does it, and it does it pretty well, or you wouldn't be alive.
right. Was a very interesting interview. She talked about the bifidobacterium being important to the biome to help prevent us from getting infected or to fight off the infection. But when we're learning more and more, what's interesting, I think this perfect storm, big science. Looking at this from the big picture, I should have started with. We have compromised ourselves over the last several decades in medicine to big pharma. Big pharma has co-opted all of our profession. And what's interesting is this has ex exposed it in ways we couldn't have never imagined. And people like Dr. Hassan and other functional medicine doctors are coming into the limelight, and it's way overdue. And it's an appreciation, fundamentally, it's an appreciation of what the good Lord has given us with, has given us so that we can defend ourselves. And rather than corrupt it in some ways, like Big Pharma has done, it's a way functional medicine in the last couple of years has come to the fore with alternative ways of improving the system that the good Lord has given us in order to fight off things that we were trained could only be done by man-made inventions. But the reality is, functional medicine says, let's try and strengthen what the good Lord's given us, and not just for an infection, but for many other things. And of course, the big government has said there is no hope outside of whatever comes up with Pfizer or Bill Gates or whoever comes up with. There's no hope for humanity unless we do what they want us to do. But the vast majority of people now are on our side in understanding that the methods, techniques, and procedures that they have done, they have imposed on us, have done much greater damage. And the people that have bought into these lies, unfortunately, our profession is the last group to come to an understanding of it. But the average person out there clearly understands we've been had. And, as we've been saying, it is for the last couple of months, I think it's still under 20% of people have gotten the vaccine, the bivalent vaccine that came out 6 months ago. Nobody's buying into their lies. And I thought it was very, very timely that King Fauci, Fraud Fauci, on the Masters series on PBS, they followed their idol around for several months, and he went into inner city Washington with the mayor of Washington, and they encounter a couple of people that just say, you know, the emperor has no clothes. You know, people, when you tell us that these jabs do not prevent infection and don't protect others from us, they're just saying, you have been lying to us, and all you've been doing is promoting fear. I love that quote from the guy on his from his apartment. It was like, all you've been doing is promoting fear. And
yeah, which is so true.
More as the days go, yeah, that's their whole, that's been the focus of everything they've done.
So we will be back
a few months ago, but
after this, and actually show that video and let you listen to it. But it's pretty fascinating. Again, this is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley with America Out Loud Pulse, always one beat ahead.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutLoud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
So welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley. Jordan, this is 1 year since we started doing this. Dr. McCullough asked we join him and these other wonderful doctors, and it's been an honor and privilege. It's been a heck of a roller coaster, but it's been 1 year. And I thank you for being a part of it as well. So we're talking about the fraud, the lies, the deceptions, the intentionality of these people to create more pandemonium and fear. I remember Bill Maher, was talking on his show last summer, and he said 70%, over 50% of Democrats believe that if you get them, then you're likely to die of the virus, when we know it is less than 0.1%. So they have ruled and taken our freedoms unimaginable ways the last 3 years. And they've been very effective at it. It's been very evil, but been very, very effective at it. And for the first time that I know of, Fauci, when he doesn't lie before Congress, is confronted by an average citizen who knows better than to believe his lies. And last week on PBS, they showed this encounter. Jordan, if you want to tee it up, that'd be great.
The people in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now. So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot on a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to create vaccination.
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allows thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious
than the flu. Though.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
You're right. But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
So I think he states it pretty well. What do you think, Dr. Tankersley?
Yeah, there's no better summary. And I couldn't believe that the sycophants at PBS would expose Fauci to such derision. But they weren't buying it, just like we haven't bought it. Thank goodness. But these are all lies. And I'm so glad that the reality is starting to settle in with several of the politicians. I don't know if you saw it or not last week, but the Republicans are introducing a bill whereby people in his position in the future will only be for a 5-year term, and they can only serve 2 times. And in other words, they know, the Republicans in the House know that this has been about a bunch of hogwash and lies that these people have been arming us with, and we see that people are waking up to the truth.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to, and I'll include this paper in the, it's a little bit older paper, it's from this summer, but it looks at the systemic review on the NPI, non-pharmaceutical interventions, including the lockdown, and actually how many lives it supposedly saved. It is a systemic review from the Johns Hopkins Institute for Applied Economics, from May 2022, and it's from Jonas Hervey, Lars Young, and Steve Hank. And interestingly enough, enough, it says basically the abstract, this translates into approximately 6,000 avoided deaths in Europe and 4,000 in the United States, if you were just talking about the shelter in place order for that year. And then they say that basically shelter in place orders were also relatively ineffective in the spring of 2020, only reducing COVID-19 mortality by 2%. This translates into approximately 4,000 avoided deaths in Europe and 3,000 in the United States. Based on specific MPIs, we estimate that the average lockdown in Europe and the United States in the spring of 2020 reduced COVID mortality by 10%. This translates into approximately 23,000 avoided deaths in Europe and 16,000 in the United States. In comparison, there are approximately 72,000 flu deaths in Europe and 38,000 flu deaths in the United States each year. So again, and by the way, their point is that we have never locked down for the flu yet, and we still have 72,000 deaths from it in Europe, 38,000 in the United States. And the lockdowns, as well as all the mask wearing, supposedly taking into account all their data, avoided a total of 23,000 deaths in Europe and 16,000 in the United States. So again, you're talking about a very nominal number. Again, each death is heartbreaking, but the untoward damage, and also at that time the unknown carnage caused by lockdowns, we are going to be paying for that for a long time, including the fact that the more that these education statistics come out, you know, from just ongoing decline. So I mean, even in, we look at just disruption in the food chain, all the kind of things that we actually had. I mean, the actual carnage on the other side, the secondary effects of lives lost to just even simple things like suicide and drug overdoses was almost approaches that level anyway. So,
no, yeah, it was 2014, there were 36,000 suicides in our country. Last year, there were 106. No, in 2021, there were 106,000.
Yeah.
The estimate from that have been wrong, and wrong. What they have done, these pharmaceutical and non-pharmaceutical intervention have done great damage. And when asked, what should we have done differently? Basically, the answer is whatever you did, don't do that. Because death is just perfect. And yeah, all for a virus.
I think you also look at it and you say, well, the first and most obvious thing is you don't screw around with viruses in the lab and make them gain function for infection.
Yeah, and we're still doing that, by the way. We're still paying for this over throughout the world. And there are, I think, 38 bioweapons labs that were in Ukraine. And I think that was one of the major alarms that led Putin to say, and I'm not going to allow this to continue. And he was right in doing that, if that is true. It doesn't mean that I'm a convert, something that Putin did. The reality is there are things going on in the Ukraine and Ukraine that should never have been allowed, but the United States, good old US of A, was it and paying for it. And we got our hand caught in the major cookie jar. It's awful.
Yeah, the more that you look into what was being done, and even if the argument is we were trying to get ahead of a virus, I think the most important testimony from Redfield after SARS and MERS, I mean, he pointed out that those viruses still did not know how to transmit human to human. But when we mess around with them and give them that ability, that's when things start going awry. And I will tell you, there's another interesting Substack from one of my favorite guys since this thing, and he's actually Igor. talks about Ralph Bierks, who's the guy that was involved in this, has an actual article that he wrote not too long ago on the perfect bioweapon. And actually, unfortunately, it sounds quite similar to what we're talking about here, because what he says is the perfect bioweapon isn't something that actually kills a bunch of people, but it's one that elicits maximum amount of fear in society. And when we look at what they kind of did, it was actually, and he goes on to state that some of the perfect bioweapons would, you know, he basically, here's the quote, as a principal goal of bioterrorism is to inspire fear, highly pathogenic outcomes may not be necessary as large-scale panic would likely result after the release of designer pathogens in U.S. sites. Given the reported findings and large repertoire of host viral and microbial virulence genes identified in the literature, the most robust defense against the development of designer pathogens for malicious use is basic research in the mechanism which by which viral pathogenesis might be manipulated and applied countermeasures that ameliorate the pathogenic mechanisms. So basically he's saying that, you know, first of all, he thinks that bioterrorism is going to come in this, you know, kind of normal virus. And the crazy thing is that that's basically what he outlines as the prospect for designing super pathogens. He says a large number of recombinant viruses have been assembled using reverse genetic approaches, including chimeric flaviviruses, chimeric enteroviruses, and coronaviruses, HIV, lentivirus, and others, usually for the purpose of generating vaccines or dissecting basic questions about viral metabolism with programmed pathogenic traits as a means of controlling certain insect and animal pests. So basically, he's also saying a lot of things that we're doing now, we've already seen this in the animal population, when we start talking about them getting vaccinated, you know, a lot of this research not only happens in the human realm, but it's also in the animal realm too. And it basically, just as Redfield said, we need to stop it. So there was one non-pharmaceutical intervention we need to do, is to close these damn labs.
And put anybody in prison that's been partaking in these illegal activities.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, crazy enough to and the people that don't close them, that's why we have military equipment, if that makes sense. I mean, we need these things destroyed. If there's nothing that's been proven in the last 3 years, it's one thing to have, you know, all these big weapons, but when you're talking about microscopic pathogens as a weapon, any development, I mean, compare it to nuclear. I mean, these things could cause more harm than a nuclear weapon in a sense, because they're, you know, so we need to be just as vigilant closing these labs down as we are on anybody starting, you know, nuclear reactors or centrifuges, making nuclear material. But doesn't seem to be that way, does it?
Nope. Certainly, what we do not, we should never consider doing. That's been there, what they've been done. That's been what the evil that's been imposed on all of us. It's undeniable.
It goes back to that making evil appear good, is what I would call it.
Right.
You
were the first person I knew that challenged one of these experts, quote unquote, at that board meeting for children for your schools, and one of UAB's highly esteemed, internationally known infectious disease experts. When you asked him, what is the potential for putting children in masks that's not good? What's the negative impact? He was honest enough to say, I don't know.
Well, exactly. And thankfully, at least he's honest. And I will tell you the same thing. There's some testimony from Fauci recently. I think when Ron Johnson asked him, well, what is the cost to this lockdown? And literally Fauci said, that's not my department.
Yeah, right. Which goes back to when all this happened, I remember talking to several of the legislators about this here in our state. And I said, it would be like on April the 4th, I mean, on June the 4th for Eisenhower's, a day before we invaded on D-Day, Eisenhower's top doc saying, Well, General, you got to scratch the mission. Our team's done the analysis, and there are too many of our guys are going to get hurt or killed in doing this. Eisenhower would have appropriately looked at him and said things. Number one, who's your replacement? And number two, you're on the first wave. The whole point is people outside of medicine. I was always an advisor. I was never the commander of the units. An advisor, a medical guy advises his command, but the commander has to look at the big picture and make major decisions. But of course, the media and our sick culture, that depraved fool named Anthony Fauci and put thing and look at the disaster that's brought by these fools. It's unimaginable.
And all it takes is a proper question. Instead of them stating what they think they know, it's just exposing what they don't. And I think that's what the media should have been doing. Okay, you're going to do this. Well, what's the consequences to education? I mean, you could have just run off five things. And the second they said, well, we actually have no idea. And it's like, well, how can you advocate for something without knowing both the benefit and the consequence? I thought that's what medicine was about. So,
no more questioning.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, again, this is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley with America Out Loud Pulse. We will be back in a few for our final segment.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse with Dr. George Stuart Tankersley. The situation with SARS-2 COVID as it is now, and the many things that have been done wrong, but also several of the interesting things that we've learned. And I think that Jordan and I have spoken to these people, and Jordan, you actually spoke at their conference. the Frontline Critical Care Consortium, FLCCC.net, of treating COVID rather than just letting people die, the government advocated, has been Dr. Hassan. And she's been on with FLCCC from the beginning. She is a gastroenterologist, and she is a fascinating lady who I've never had the privilege of listening to until Epoch Times did an interview with her. It was over an hour interview with her. And I would encourage anybody to Times and watch that interview. But Jordan, she's talking about biome. Our biome is our gut, the bacteria. The Lord's given us bacteria all over our bodies and inside our bodies that are healthy, that things in our gut that help break down the nutrients and foods that we eat in a healthy way is what we would hope for, right?
Exactly.
But if the biome, which has over 100 trillion bacteria in our gut, and there are five or six of these that dominate, there are over 150 different strains of bacteria that comprise the biome, but there are five or six of them that make up well over 90% of it normally. And if you look at one of them in particular, it's the Bifido, B-I-F-I-D-O strain. It's very helpful for our whole immune system. The largest immune organ in our body, the gut. And when the gut is healthy, our body performs well, and it's hard to infect. But when our gut is out of whack with these awful foods that we've been eating the last 50 years, that's affected the biome, then they get out of whack. And it's amazing that, I mean, if any physician listen to this, this is hard science, and she's been at the forefront of it years.
But, yeah, that's one of the things I always like to tell people is we think of the inside of our body as being like inside us. But the way I actually look at it is you really are basically like a big donut. Like your mouth to your anus is actually outside your body as well. The difference is that barrier, unlike your skin, which is an almost impenetrable barrier, there are things that can get through it. Your mucosal barrier of your intestines and your mouth and things are your kind of barrier that is filtrating and allowing things to go in that you need to live. So it's still technically the outside of your body. So a lot of people don't really think of it that way. They think of, oh, well, you know, my mouth's inside. It technically isn't. It's actually on the inside of that layer that's really the inside, or what we would call the rest of your body.
Our brain and our heart and other organs don't direct interactions with the environment like the gut does, or like really the lung also does. But the lung, skin, and gut are the three areas that have direct.
And all of them have a barrier. It's just, you know, the skin is one barrier, and then the mucosal barrier is the other. So that's what she's talking about in a lot of ways. So what we'll go ahead and do is just play this portion talking about the biome. So here's Dr. Sabine Hassan.
So the first four patients I started noticing a month later, the bifidobacteria, this important microbe, is dropping in patients pre and post vaccination. So then I started like asking myself, wait a minute, what's going on here? I mean, is it creating a bifidophage? You know, because this is precision medicine. This is forensics of the gut, right? You've got your microbiome this way before and you've got it after, and it's the same patient, and only a certain group of microbes are getting killed. You got to pay attention. So then, you know, 10, 20, 30, 34 patients later, we're seeing this, you know, killing of the bifidobacteria. And so I wasn't going to, first of all, there's no way I was going to publish this because nobody would have taken that. So I decided to submit it to the American College of Gastro as a presentation, as a poster. It got accepted at the American College of Gastro as a poster, and then it won the Best Research Award as a poster. So all my colleagues called me and said, hey, I saw your data. That's incredible. How do you think this is happening? The vaccine's supposed to be, you know, improving your immunity. And we all know bifidobacteria is a huge part of immunity. How do you think it's happening? So then I said, I think it's creating a bacteriophage or bifidophage. And what we noticed is in four patients that we followed, which were amazing shape, you know, we followed them for 90 days. And then next thing you know, their bifidobacteria dropped to like zero, from like a million to like zero. So it kept persisting. So there was a persistence in the damage, and not only 90 days, but 6 months, 9 months later. So that was the thing that started making me panic. And then as we were looking at the microbiome of newborns to mothers who were breastfeeding, we started noticing that there's no bifidobacteria in those newborns. So we asked ourselves, well, I mean, because newborns are supposed to have a ton of bifidobacteria, right? 90% of the microbiome of babies is bifidobacteria. So we said, well, how come these babies born to moms that are breastfeeding that were vaccinated have zero bifidobacteria? Is the spike protein going to the breast milk into the baby's gut and killing whatever the baby's trying to build?
So again, I mean, she's just making points that are observational, and observational meaning all she's doing is asking a question. And that question, I think, is a pretty reasonable question, don't you think, Stuart? You have an intervention that's not well studied, as evidently, despite Tony Fauci saying that if there's 20 years of research, I would argue there might be 20 years of research on things that happen in the lab, but how it affects the human, there was very limited amounts. In fact, most of the post-vaccine research was compromised by the fact that you inoculated the placebo arm. So again, I'm not really sure how they're, and I would argue, I don't know for sure, but the follow-up functions that they're doing aren't very robust. What do you think, Stuart?
Yeah. You know, the deception. I think that Fauci saying that for 20 years we've studied it is center of a huge investigation. We've known this, of course. David Martin, the patent official, I mean lawyer expert, has detailed this. But we said 20 years, we've been studying this for 20 years. Really? Oh, let's look into that. But the question,
well, just because you study something doesn't mean it's safe, by the way.
Right, because we studied. We're gonna
notice that he always uses words that sound like, when you say, oh, we've been studying this for 20 years, he didn't say we've been studying this on the safety in humans for 20 years. Those are two different comments.
Right, because this is clearly the first time they've done it on humans. But there was so much in there that she was talking about, and it just goes in the middle of what science, how, let's ask questions. And the guy with money, the black, and you know, Fauci almost $1 trillion in grants in his high-paying role, but you don't get to make the decisions just because you have the checkbook. You don't get to make the decisions just because your wife is in charge of ethics. You don't get to make the decisions just because you say so. This, we're going to move aside Washington, D.C. and investigations. But she basics, and of course, she knows the fundamentals of the human gut, that these fools that have been practicing gastroenterology for decades at the behest of Big Pharma.
Yeah, I think what she mentioned there was important. The fact that she didn't publish it because she knew the editors would not allow it to be published. But instead, what she did was present it at a live meeting of American Gastroenterology Society. Mm-hmm. And by the way, she won, which is probably something voted on by all the attendees. So again, right, when you think about doctors, the doctors can only see information that, you know, that they're willing, not willing, but that they're actually available. So, you know, her data was so convincing that all of her colleagues voted her having the best presentation. And She didn't have to go through the filter of editor, of being edited by somebody who's, you know, basically compromised by pharmaceutical industry. So that's an important right. point, is how she did it. And she did it. That's a smart way to do it, is get the data in front of these doctors, because that, again, goes, and we could argue a little bit on how much, you know, complicity there is with the physicians, but it just goes to show you that physicians aren't, a lot of them still think for themselves. And once they're presented with data that's there, they're going to have to reckon with it. And I think that problem is, and that's what's happened in medicine, is they found a way to filter the data, which is they're only going to show the data they want people to see. And that even happens in the medical community.
Yeah, especially happens in the medical community. Big Pharma has such a hold on the medical industrial complex. And Dr. Hazan, FLCCC, and doctors and others like us are a direct threat to their lies, to exposing their lies.
Because they can't go against the data. Instead, what they do is they usually attack the messenger, which again is not science.
Right, and when an elected official, unlike let's say DeSantis in Florida, when an elected official says, "Well, I can't go against the big university system in my state because you know they have the experts that know about." Something like SARS-2. No, an elected official is the commanding general. They get looking outside of that that's being force-fed to them, medical industrial complex or any other entity. And they refuse job. That's what's damaging. And it will continue, of course, until there's a reckoning. But Dr. Hazan just lays it out so beautifully in that it was over an hour interview. And the guy that does those interviews does a great job in allowing the whole discussion to unfold at a very pleasant and rate, if you will, because Hazan's been doing this for all these decades. And she has the evidence, and I bet it would be shocking news to most gastroenterologists who have ignored this reality to the detriment of our culture, not just to their patients, but
going back to state, what she's saying is, you know, that the fact that the bifido is being eliminated is
right.
I mean, we just at the beginning of this talk talked about the fact that the vaccine doesn't elicit IgA immunity, meaning like it doesn't elicit mucosal IgA the same way a regular infection right. does. But imagine that it not only doesn't do that, but instead actually eliminates a lot of your good bacteria, bacteria that's good for right. healthy transition, healthy mucosal barriers. Then you're talking about something that not only doesn't do what it's supposed to do on the help side, but actually harms on the harm side. And in medicine, that means those are usually two bad outcomes.
Yeah, and we've seen the result of it. but this is the kind of stuff that in studying, if somebody were really studying a pathogen, they should have been doing this type of research decades ago, and according to Fauci, at least for 20 years. A shocking admission. But so 6 years ago, I went to my first functional medicine conference in Dallas, and the Institute of Functional Medicine puts on wonderful conferences that actually are three times the expense of going to than traditional medical. They're not underwritten by big, but it was really a transformation for me, and I'm sure because it's basically saying, let's functional medicine, let's take a step back. Let's go and look at how the system was originally designed, what went off the rails so that we can get back to health. And one of the amazing statements I remember they said at that too was 5% of Crohn's Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, called inflammatory bowel diseases, can be cured without surgery. And I thought, man, that is a bold statement. And the more I listened to that week of lectures, the more I realized these people are fundamentally coming at our health completely differently than I'd been trained up until then. And Dr. Hassan has been on the front edge of this for a long time, it seems like. But we've got to get back to health rather than sickness care. What does health care look like?
Yeah. And that's, I think that the only difference is, and it requires you to have a mindset that thinks that there's a designer to this body, and how do we make the function, work with the design's intent. I think that's one of the most important differences in the way medicine, at least academic medicine, is going, is the denial of design. Functional medicine admits a design, and that design needs to be optimized, I guess is how I look at it. Those are kind of the differences. But anyway, this is Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley with America Out Loud Pulse. Always one beat ahead. We will see you next week.